Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm your host, Chris Terracone. Season 8 of Jury Duty explores the trial of Alex Murdoch, a member of one of the most powerful families in South Carolina, who is accused of murdering his son Paul and his wife Maggie, with the purpose of covering up a multitude of alleged crimes, including fraud and homicide. In our last episode, we began our review of the testimony of SLED Special Agent David Owen, who interviewed Alex Murdoch after the shootings of Paul and Maggie. In this installment, we continue our look at the direct examination of Agent Owen. That's all coming up right after the break.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
It is the morning of February 15th, 2023, day 16 of the trial of Alex Murdoch. As we concluded our last episode, Special Agent David Owen described the conditions under which he interviewed Alex Murdoch in the hours after the shootings. As we begin this installment, Prosecutor John Metters continues his direct examination by asking Agent Owen about his activities at the crime scene the night of the murders.
How long did you stay there once you got there?
At the 4140 Moselle.
I believe I left about 8:30, 9 o'clock the next morning.
So you stayed all night?
Yes, sir.
And did the crime scene unit down where Paul and Maggie were stay all night?
Yes, sir.
So night becomes day, obviously.
Yes, sir.
Did you see anybody else at the scene that morning that you had an occasion to conduct an interview with?
Approximately 7 a.m., y'all heard about C.B. Rowe, the farmhand, the employee of Mr. Murdoch. He was the farmhand. He arrived on scene. We confronted him and said, hey, we need to speak with you. So earlier in the interview with Mr. Murdoch, he said that C.B. had, or I call him C.B., Mr. Rowe had not worked on Monday, that he was had taken his father. And he relayed a story about Mr. Rowe having a conversation with Paul, where, you know, he was hired by FBI out of high school to be some killer operative. So, of course, that kind of piqued my interest, and I needed to figure out where he was on yesterday or even that night. So Mr. Rowe, when he showed up, immediately went into an interview with him, got his alibi, got his statement of his events on Monday, where he corroborated that he had to take his father to the hospital or to the doctor in Mount Pleasant on that Friday, that Monday, and that he was not there on Moselle property.
At some point, the bodies of Maggie and Paul were taken away from the scene, right?
Yes, sir. The coroner took custody of the bodies. And
that's the law. The coroner comes in and takes custody, right?
Yes, sir.
But prior to leaving, were you able to observe from your own eyes around the bodies of Paul and Maggie?
Yes, sir.
And how would you describe that?
Very gruesome, very bloody.
Bloody?
Very bloody.
Around the bodies, bloody.
Yes, sir. And also, around Paul, it was more bloody because he was on concrete and in a rock driveway. And it had been raining that night, so you add the water to the bodily fluids, it's going to make them run a little bit more or spread more. Maggie was on dirt, grass, so it's going to seep into the ground. So there wasn't as much blood around her as was under her.
And did you, and without going into what he said, I think he's testified, did you interview Rogan Gibson?
I did not interview Rogan Gibson.
Was he interviewed?
He was interviewed on June 8th, yes.
So y'all are investigating?
Yes, sir.
Working with the locals?
Yes, sir.
Interviewing people?
Yes, sir.
Did you try to determine or did you request anybody to check the videos in the area?
Yes, sir. Back up after interviewing Mr. Rowe, Dale Davis, who was the dog, took care of the dogs, also arrived on, and we interviewed him, tried to get some information. Once we finished those interviews, our crime scene was done. We responded back to our Low Country office here in Walterboro. Collin County Sheriff's Office was there, 14th Circuit solicitors and their investigators were present, as well as most of our office and other agents that we called in, so we can relay to them what we had learned so far and what needed to be done So we started assigning tasks to other agents in the Collin County Sheriff's Office. They go back out and start canvassing the neighborhood. You know, normally you would canvass the neighborhood when you're out there at night, and some agents were. But 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, most people are sleeping. It's out, also the country. It's dark. You don't really get the lay of the land. So you go back the next day when it's daylight. So we sent Collin County out, and they went from one end of Moselle Road to the other, attempting to locate video surveillance, talk to neighbors, see if they heard anything, saw anything, having any problems with burglaries, robberies in the area, anything to develop a lead that we could track down.
You were searching for any potential killers?
Yes, sir.
Did they search of the videos and the surrounding areas produce anything?
No, sir. Not many homes are close to the road out there, and the ones that did, not all of them had video or video surveillance. The ones that did that we saw were at night, and you can tell a car is passing, but you couldn't tell the make, model. You couldn't see the tag number, so it was really useless.
Y'all tried?
We tried, yes, sir.
And I think you said after
David, he
testified yesterday.
When you talked to Rogan Gibson, is that when you first learned about a conversation
where he may have heard some voices?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that morning you heard that from him.
But Agent Croft and Agent McAllister interviewed Rogan Gibson. I believe it was sometime mid-morning or lunchtime. And me being the lead agent, everything that they learned, they report back. So I learned later on that afternoon that they had interviewed Mr. Gibson, and that Rogan had relayed a conversation that he had had with Paul on the phone about an injured dog, and that Rogan had requested a video, and that during the phone call, what Rogan had heard in the background.
Paul, Maggie, and 99% sure, Alex?
Yes, sir.
And some point on June 8th of 2021 was the big house, or the main house, if you will, searched by law enforcement?
Yes, sir. Agent Croft and Agent McAllister, upon their completion with Rogan Gibson, they went back to the house, spoke with those that were present. I believe they spoke with Attorney Lee Cope, which is a law partner of Alec Murdoch's, as well as Alec's brother, John Marvin. They told them while they were there they wanted to search the house for evidence, and they were given consent, and that search commenced.
Did we get Alex's phone that night?
No, sir.
Now, June 8th becomes June 9th. You're investigating, correct?
Yes, sir.
Working with the locals?
Yes, sir.
Everybody's getting leads to follow?
Yes, sir.
Did you have an occasion to speak with Alex Murdaugh again?
Yes, sir. On June 9th, I contacted John Marvin Murdoch, Alex's brother, and stated that we needed to sit down and have a more proper interview.
What do you mean by a more proper?
Right after a tragic event, you want to get as much information as possible. But you can imagine that speaking with somebody who's experienced a tragic event, they're not going to remember everything. Later on, once they have time, kind of memory reset, they're going to have more details. They're going to be thinking a little bit more clear. So we scheduled an additional interview, which took place on June 10th with Alec Murdoch and his brothers, to see what they may have known, what they may have experienced in their lives that may have led to this. I mean, you know, at that time, you don't have any information. You've got to go out and talk to everybody, or as many people as you can.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Prosecutor John Metters continues his direct examination of SLED Special Agent David Owen by asking the witness about the conditions under which his second interview with Alex Murdoch was conducted.
When you talked, we've seen it, and again, I'm not going to play it again, the jury's got it, but that second interview, who was there?
With me was Alec Murdoch again in the front seat. Agent Jeff Croft was sitting behind Alec. And Alec's attorney, Jim Griffin, who is at the defense table, was also in the vehicle, too.
This was a voluntary statement by the defendant,
right?
Yes, sir, it was.
Okay. No question that it was voluntary. He wanted to give it, and you wanted to ask him questions.
Yes, sir.
And I have to, because it just comes out. Could you understand him?
Yes, sir.
Did he appear to be under the influence of any alcohol, drugs, or other intoxicant?
No, he did not.
Yeah. Did he have trouble understanding David Owen when he was asking questions in your mind?
In my mind, he wasn't. Again, if I wasn't clear, I think he said, excuse me, or, you know, say that again if he didn't hear what I said. And, of course, I repeated myself, but it wasn't that he didn't understand me. It was more so that he didn't hear me.
And could you understand his words, and were they appropriate to your answer, to your
yes.
questions?
Yes, they were.
Okay. And there's a colloquy between all of y'all and Mr. Griffin at several points on the interview, right?
Yes.
Did he appear to be clear in his mind, is what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And this was how many days? Well, first of all, when you talked to him that first statement, how long was it after the 911 call?
I interviewed him just before 1 a.m. on June 8th, and the 911 call came in on that Monday night at approximately 10:06 p.m.
So that's just a few hours.
Yes, sir.
Would you say it was fresh in his mind then?
Yes, sir, I would.
And this second interview was on what day and time?
June 10th.
And what time?
Tuesday.
Second.
Agent Owen takes a moment to look through his notes before responding to the prosecutor.
It began approximately 1:45 p.m. I'm sorry, 1:54 p.m.
First and the second interview, Special Agent David Owen, based on your being there and listening and asking questions, was the defendant clear about whether or not he had gone back down to the kennels after he went to the house?
No, sir.
Was he clear that he had not gone back down?
Yes, sir.
Well, that was clear. He hadn't gone down there.
That was clear.
Defense Attorney Jim Griffin rises to object that John Metters is leading the witness. Judge Clifton Newman instructs the prosecutor to refrain from doing so.
Did you have trouble understanding that?
No, sir, I did not.
And was it clear where he'd gone after that?
Yes, sir.
Based on your questions?
I went to visit his mother in Alameda.
And when he came back?
When he came back, yes, sir.
And that's the 12th. That second
June,
interview?
June 10th. June
10th. I'm sorry, yes, sir. I was skipping it. Did you collect the defendant's phone that day?
I asked for consent to do a cell phone extraction. Dylan Hightower with the 14th Circuit actually conducted that extraction, and he conducted a logical extraction while Mr. Murdoch was being interviewed.
Conrad's expert on phones, but what's logical extraction mean?
So there's two types of, I'm not a cell phone expert, but what I understand is logical extraction, there's two types, logical and physical. Logical, it's basically the surface of your phone. You get phone calls, text messages, emails, photographs, very basic information. The physical extraction, you get more files on the phone, such as orientation change, your steps, more intricate, more information with the physical extraction.
So on the 10th, working with the 14th Circuit Solicitor's Office investigator, y'all got a logical extraction?
Yes, sir.
And was the phone given back then?
Yes, sir. Upon the completion of the extraction, it was given back, yes.
But you're working with the local officials at this point, correct?
Yes, sir.
After that, did you have an occasion to talk with Marion Proctor and her family without saying what they said?
Yes, sir. I'm not sure the exact date, but it was sometime that week or the following week that I spoke with Marion Proctor and her husband.
And was Maggie Murdoch's Mercedes processed?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Did y'all obtain search warrants?
Yes, sir, we did.
Would you dispute if I told you that was June 15th for social media, financial records, and to search the ponds of Moselle and surrounding areas?
No, sir.
And did y'all do that?
Yes, sir, we did.
You actually went out and searched?
Yes, sir.
How'd you search the ponds?
We had sled dive team come down. Once they arrived and kind of surveyed the pond, it wasn't deep enough for them to actually dive, so they just waited. They had, you know, hip waders on, so they were walking around basically on their hands and knees, searching the pond. There were some other waterways and ponds on the property that were searched. And I believe they went back the next day to complete searches. Also around that area, because going into Hampton, it's a swampy area. This Salcatchie River, the little Salcatchie River, those areas were searched. Also that same day that the ponds were searched, we did a land search. In conjunction with Collington County, they had ATVs, UTVs, 4x4s, and, you know, we were searching the property looking for any evidence that might help us develop leads or point us in the right direction in the investigation.
So sled's working?
Yes, sir.
Working with locals?
Yes, sir.
And was the property searched again on June 16th?
Yes, sir.
And where was that?
That's when the dive team returned and completed their search of the waterways and ponds.
And it's also, there were some blackout cartridge casings and some shotgun shells that were seized later, correct? Also.
Yes, sir. The pond that was, the first pond that was searched is by the shooting range or the shoot house across across Moselle from the main house. Going back to June 8th, when Agent Croft went back out to the house and they conducted the search, he located some additional 300 blackout shell casings. We knew there was a shoot house by the ponds, so we went over there and located the 300 blackout shell casings inside the shoot house, as well as some shot shells from shotguns by the pond, and those were collected.
Did you end up talking with the pathologist?
Yes, sir.
Did you have an occasion to speak with
where Maggie Murdaugh might have been on June 7th? Was any place she might have visited?
Yes, sir. According to the statement that Alec gave me, that she was seeing a that she had been to Charleston to see a doctor, and he gave me a name. I did some research, and being from Charleston, I was familiar with the doctor and the location. So I went by and spoke with the doctor, and they said they verified that she was there that day. They told me what she was wearing, which is the clothing she was found in that night. She didn't appear to be in any distress. It appeared to be a normal visit. I didn't get into what the visit was, but it was a normal visit for them.
Days are becoming a week, and you're moving on. Did you talk with the defendant, Alex Murdaugh, again during this time period?
A few times, yes, sir.
A few times?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, do you remember on July 28th meeting him at the Colleton County Sheriff's Office?
Yes, sir. I believe it was a few days prior to the 28th. He had contacted me. We still had custody of his Suburban, and he was seeking to have his Suburban returned to him. Indicated to him that it was inoperable. I was unable to return it to him, and he asked to get some personal belongings out of there. I believe he had some clothing and some golf clubs in there, and he was going on vacation with Maggie's family and needed his golf clubs.
So he called about his car?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that was the point of his phone call?
He asked about the investigation as well. He asked about the investigation later on the 28th when I did meet with him and to, you know, let him get some of the clothing and some of his belongings out of the Suburban. He indicated to me that he had some questions and wanted to know about the investigation. And I said, well, I have some additional questions as well. I said, I think I had another interview scheduled. I said, I can't meet with you right now. Can we meet sometime tomorrow? And he stated no, that he was going out of town. And I said, well, go with your family, take a relaxing vacation. When you return, give me a call. Let's schedule something and we'll sit down. A few days later, I believe it was August 3rd or August 4th, he returned my phone call and said, I'm back. Let's schedule something. And we scheduled a date for August the 11th.
So he called, asked about the case, the car. You said you couldn't meet. I could meet with you tomorrow. And he said he couldn't. He's going on vacation.
Yes, sir.
When he gets back, y'all agree on a date for another interview?
Yes, sir.
And specifically, what had you told him about that interview, or what did he ask you about that interview prior to the interview?
About setting up the interview?
Yes, sir.
He just stated he had some questions. He wanted to know what we were doing, where we were at, if we had any information. And I told him that we didn't have a whole lot, and I had some questions that I needed clarification on, that I needed to sit down with him.
Now, and prior to this, had y'all collected a bunch of buccal swabs?
A buccal swab is a forensic DNA sample taken from the inside of an individual's cheek.
Yes, sir.
Why?
Well, when our crime scene agents, when they processed the scene, they looked for touch DNA. Of course, you can't see it, so you're just thinking, okay, where could somebody have touched? I know they swabbed door handles, and they swabbed different areas. There was the shell casings and the shot shells. There were no weapons found that night by the bodies, so we didn't have those to test, other than the shotgun that Alec had taken, gone and gotten from the house during the 911 call. And at that time, you know, I wasn't familiar with the Murdaugh family. I didn't know the Murdaugh family, but I knew that there was a large boat case. There was an issue where Paul had been charged or indicted on the boat accident and the death of Mallory Beach. So, you know, that's a catastrophic event for that family. So, you know, you immediately think, okay, well, that's something big. So that needs to be addressed as well. You know, I have friends and family over at my house all the time. So their DNA is going to be there. I knew that Alec had friends and family at his house all the time, especially law partners. I saw him there. So if I'm going to start collecting DNA, I need to eliminate the ones that I know were there. So you start going out to friends and family, talking to people in the boat case that were on the boat that night, trying to document their alibis and getting their DNA to make sure, you know, if we find an unknown, is it them?
So you were trying to either rule in or rule out any other possible suspects?
Yes.
And who brought up the boat case first in this case
when you got involved? When's the first time you heard about it?
During the 911 call. Alec mentioned it in the 911 call. He mentioned it to Sergeant Green when he arrived. He mentioned it to me during the interview.
And so you followed up on that?
Yes, I did. Or yes, we did.
We did.
I missed all. I watched it, but some testimony with the pathologist
about possible scenarios. What guns were found at or near Mackie and Paul when y'all got there?
None.
None?
None. Other than the shotgun that was by Alex's truck that he could retrieve from the house, but there were no guns found by Maggie or Paul.
And that gun was given to you by Alex?
Given to law enforcement?
It was given to law enforcement by Alex, yes, sir.
Did you have an occasion to talk with the defendant again?
On August the 11th.
Okay. And tell these folks where that took place.
At the SLED's Low Country Regional Office here in Walterboro.
How far is that from where we're standing or sitting right now?
2-3 minute drive. If you're from Walterboro any length of time, it's the old hospital, the old mental health ESS building.
They got y'all in the old hospital in the mental health building?
Yes, sir.
What time was the interview?
Interview began approximately 11:09 a.m.
And describe the room, interview room, etc.
I mean, it's plain walls. There's a table, small conference table, about the size of this desk, and four chairs. Of course, we move the chairs in and out to accommodate the number of people. There's video cameras up on the ceiling to record any interview that occurs in there.
Are the video cameras visible?
Yes, sir.
Prosecutor Metters takes a moment to show a few photographs to defense attorney Jim Griffin before taking them to the witness.
I'm going to show you what's marked states 5'11", 5'12", and 5'13". And just ask, does that relate to what you're saying right now? Testifying to it.
Yes, it does.
Your Honor, 5'11", 5'12", and 5'13", I believe, without objection.
You're admitted.
Put the Elmo. Actually, Judge, I'm going to have abundance of caution. I'm going to withdraw states 5'11", without objection, I believe. 5'11" is withdrawn with the court's permission.
After John Metters withdraws one of the exhibits from evidence, he shows the witness the other two items.
Please, this 5'12 and 5'13 I'm holding, just tell the folks what this is.
That is the interview room in our Low Country SLED office.
Can you see cameras in there?
Yes, up in the corners.
Judge, I didn't know if you wanted to take a break. We're going to play the interview now, which may be semi-lengthy, and I just want to bring that to court's attention. So I hope you don't mind me saying that.
All right, thanks, gentlemen. We'll have you go to the jury room for a short break.
With that, we bring to a close this episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Alex Murdoch. Please join us on our next installment as we continue our review of the testimony of SLED Special Agent David Owen. Also, check out the Ambie-nominated crime story podcast Night Raid, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would like to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, head over to our Jury Duty crime story Patreon page.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You can find more information about this trial on our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page or at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created and produced by Carrie Antholis. It was co-produced, written, and edited by yours truly, Chris Terracone. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio. Trial audio is courtesy of Law & Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty.